Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del challenges the status quo, questions everything, and empowers you to return to your core beliefs to make your life better. If you're ready to hear the truth and get your roadmap to the lifestyle you really want, the next hour will change your life. And now, your host, self-made millionaire, national award-winning investor of the year, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Today, my friends, I've got a wonderful journey for you. All week long, we've been working on the basics of why Lifestyles exists, what you need to do to change your life, to get away from quiet desperation. And today, we're going right to the top. I've got Curtis Haynes with us here today. He's one of our mentors out of Houston, Texas, a multifamily mentor. But Curtis has a unique position of having the highest volume of transactions of any of our mentors or any of our members. And so today, what I want to do is I want to go down a trail with Curtis, because he's got another unique situation going on in his life. He just had a baby. And now here's this guy that's had a professional wife that always worked and was always busy, never came around because she was doing her own thing. Curtis, who was always working, always busy, doing his own thing, pursuing his life's goals. And, you know, the two of them are going down the road 1,000 miles an hour. She's very successful also. And they're going down the road 1,000 miles an hour. And then one day, boom, baby comes along. Whole world changes. It's like screech on the brakes, don't swerve off the road, but you got to keep driving and not get hit from behind. So with that going on and the fact that he's been the most volume, at least volume-wise, successful of all the people in our group, he puts him in a unique situation, or position, I guess would be the better word. Puts him in a unique position to be able to answer some questions for me today that I'd like to get answered. Now, before we go on and get Curtis on the line, I also want to bring in tomorrow or next segment an individual who I met just the other day, who's a beginner member that had the most positive attitude I've ever met in my entire life. And he wrote me just the kindest email in the world, just gushing out about the program. Now, you would think that the reason I'm bringing this guy on is because it was probably the best compliments I've ever gotten about the program and myself in my life. But I'm bringing him on because of his enthusiasm. I mean, how can someone be that excited about life? And so you've got the guys now, myself and Curtis, at the end of the train or the end of the journey. We're there. We've made it. It's over. Let's figure out how we're going to play the game differently. And the person that's at the beginning. Welcome to the show, Curtis.
Thanks, Dale. Happy to be here.
I'm bringing Paul on because I want to contrast the difference in positions in life. It's to me, it just blows my mind. This guy is the most excited guy I've ever seen in my whole life. And here we are, and we're in a completely different situation where we're 100% totally satiated as far as what we need in life to survive. And now we're living a plan. It's not even really a dream anymore for me. I'm not going to take that away from you, but for me, it's just a plan. In other words, if you've already succeeded, you know, what is the new plan? So I wanted to get with you here and have quite a few questions for you throughout this whole show that I want to cover. But to start with, I'm going to start the segment out with this. You have done 10,000 plus units, 45 different acquisitions, sold off 5 properties, and refinanced out many, many, many deals to where, let's say, actually 15 cash out refis. That's a tremendous volume of transactions, and it has produced quite a large sum of income and assets for you. You made a statement the other day that I think the average person doesn't understand, and you make it flippantly because, you know, when you say it to me, you know, I understand. But I want you to explain to people, what does it really mean to be playing with the house's money? Can you share that with us, please?
Yeah, so for me, we all start at some place, whether it's $1 or $2 or $3, but we all start our journey with a certain amount of money to invest. And so for me, I started with a buck and started making my investment endeavors. And over time, with the cash out refinances and the passive stream of income that's coming in from the properties, I kept on reinvesting the funds back into additional income-producing assets, apartments. And so over time, as I keep on adding and adding more and more apartments to my portfolio, using the funds that I received from the cash-out refinances, from the sales, from the quarterly distributions, I looked at my bank account and I said, wow, I started with $1 and now I have $5. So if I start with $1 and now I have $5, but I own all these properties, then I must have, you know, technically bought all these properties with house money. And that's what I mean by that.
Well, let's be clear to the audience, just because you're trying to be kosher, that you didn't start with a dollar. So you started with a good sum of money. But the point is still relevant, is that, okay, somebody comes in here right now and says, I want to retire. I want to go into retirement. I got $1 million. And the guy says, we can get you 4% return. You make 40 grand a year off of that. And hope that that million doesn't disappear over time is really what you're hoping. Because as you draw down on it, if it doesn't earn 4% that year, you draw down 4%, it's going to get smaller instead of larger. And what you're saying is, over the last 3 or 4 or 5 years, however long you've been here, you've taken your net worth and made it 5 times larger. Is that what you're saying, basically?
Well, I'm actually going...
No, I'm sorry, not your net worth, your cash in the bank. Your cash in the bank is five times more.
Cash in the bank.
So your net worth is probably 50 times more, huh? Clarify that for us.
It's definitely significantly higher. Yeah, it's definitely, net worth-wise, definitely significantly higher, Dale. I remember in the two-day when you had asked us to, you know, take our passive income and divide it by our net worth and tell us what our return on net worth is. You know, mine was 0.00001. I had, like most people, my assets in my net worth was basically my house, and I had some cash in my bank account, and I had zero passive income other than some small interest and dividends. So my net worth going into this venture was definitely, I would say, subpar, and then leaving, you know, nearing the end of where I'm at today, it's certainly gone up significantly.
Now, we can't answer this all in the next 4 minutes of this. There's only 4 minutes left in the segment. But the next point I want to get across is, now that you are where you are, the life changes you've had, the person you ran into that taught you about the family business and so forth, you've made quite a few changes psychologically and I think even positionally in what you're doing. Can you share in just a short synopsis how you see the world differently than you did just a year or two ago?
Jeez. I mean, we're talking, you know, 1 minute I'm on my deathbed fighting stage 3 cancer. The next minute I'm celebrating the birth of our first child. So I think you go from one extreme to the other, and at the end of the day, it's just pure gratitude is what I'm feeling today. And by the folks that I've that crossed my path over the years, you being one of them for sure, that's made such a significant impact on my life. And then most recently with the high net worth family member, introduced me to the concept of the family office. My whole outlook of everything has completely changed. And so I'm just viewing things so differently. It's almost like the movie The Matrix. It's the reality of what's out there versus what I thought it was. And there's so many things I had in my head that I was taught all my life that was wrong, completely wrong. And so now I completely see it as crystal clear, and I'm more excited and more focused on really building something, not for me, but for my family and leaving a legacy.
I did a show Monday, and I talked about the problem that I had when I was younger, which is I believed more was better. And one of the things I had to learn as I matured as a man is that more isn't better. Better is better. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about a concept that is, well, when we come back, we'll have Paul on. But when we get done with that, we'll go into this, Curtis. What happens? You know, I've read all these books that said you're either growing, blooming, or dying. You're in the high growth, youth willing to risk a lot stage, or you're in the middle of life, just exponential growth because you've got all the tools to do it, or you're then in the preserved asset preservation stage. I want to see if you actually believe that that's really the way the cycle works or not, with your belief system about the family office, because I'm sitting here at that same position, and it's an interesting question. We'll take a short break, and then we'll be right back with Curtis Haynes and the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del will be right back with more life-changing principles in just a few minutes. Everyone is asking, is it still a good time to invest in real estate?
We see no indication that for the foreseeable future, and even the unforeseeable future, no indication whatsoever that real estate is suddenly not going to be the best vehicle for creating wealth and passive income for your family. And so that would say that now is the time to get in. And we very rarely talk about this because we talk about cash flow. But now we're talking a little bit about capital gains and what the future brings in that property. Because it's real. At the end of the day, you have all your cash flow, but you've got this nice capital gain when you sell. And the inflation that we see and the reasons for it are going to continue. And we're going to see great capital gains at the end of the line when we sell these properties.
Get in on the next free workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com. Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. With me here today is Curtis Haynes, one of my top multifamily consultants and our probably highest volume investor in Lifestyles history. But we brought on today, asked Paul Vorabil to call in because Paul sent me an email that was probably one of the most flattering emails I've ever received. And what really got me, Paul, about the email, welcome to the show, by the way. What really got me about the email was how excited you were about something you were just beginning a journey into. I don't know if there's any way we can replicate the enthusiasm you had in that email. What is it that you're seeing in Lifestyles? What is it you're seeing in the communication you and I had there at the dinner? What is it that has got you so excited?
It's been a very just fascinating experience for me. To see the credibility and honesty, and that was actually the factor for me to join was your just dedication to credibility, integrity, honesty. That was a really easy, simple decision for me to make the payment for the education that I'm entitled to. And it's just a very empowering a tool. I guess I'm kind of speechless at this point, but yeah, it's a life-changing experience for me, and the only thing I can wish I would have done more research and found out about your organization earlier, 10 years before. I'm in my 50s at this point, so I'd like to absorb the knowledge, and my son is going to be thrilled, I think, to follow in my steps. Go ahead.
You're at the beginning of your journey. Curtis and I, we're at the successful end of the journey. We're not done, but we're at the other end. What are you looking forward to? What's your end goal for all this, Paul?
Well, my end goal would be to be an operator of a building. Which I attempted to purchase the building, and the offer fell through. Thank God it did, because I had no experience and knowledge. And now that I see all the resources and all the people behind me, if I do take that step once I have the education, it would be a lot more easier for me to make that step instead of just a shot in the dark, and hope for the best.
Well, we really appreciate you sending me the email, and also we appreciate the enthusiasm you have. And we look forward to having you up there someday to where you're so successful you'll be given back and mentoring to. Appreciate the call in, man. I know it's hard just in the middle of the day to make a call, but really appreciate it.
Thank you, Dale.
Curtis, let's pick this back up here. Here you are at the end, or maybe the middle. That's all in how you perceive it, isn't it?
I mean, stop saying we're at the end, Dale. You're scaring me, buddy.
It's all in the eye of the beholder. And, you know, the bottom line is I thought I was done 10 times. And every time I thought I was done, you come across the reality. It's okay. I'm going to cash in all my chips. I'm sitting on the sidelines. I've got enough to live for the rest of my life as a king. But then you sit there and you go, but that's not a part of the, you know, the family office. The family office is to keep the money invested, to keep it growing for the family, for the future. And what I'd like to make a point to is that where I think, and I want to get your opinion on this, where I think that what's happened with me is I'm willing to let the money grow exponentially and keep working hard as it can. In fact, I'd like it to work hard as it can, but I'm not willing to work hard anymore. I'm not even willing to work easy anymore. I'm willing to put in a very minimal amount of effort and time, yet I still want the money working as hard as I can have it. How do you see that, Curtis? Where are you at in that curve?
Yeah, I mean, that's the beautiful thing about one of the options for folks out there within lifestyles is the passive investing option, where there's just not much work involved other than some basic due diligence on the opportunity and the person.
Yeah. So where are you at right now? Are you still churning your money, I'm assuming?
Yes. Yes. And Adele, I think part of our conversation is really about what we're ultimately wanting to do. And, you know, for you and your story, when you're talking about in the 2-day and you wanted to, you know, what would it be like to get your first million in your bank account or make first million a year, and all those things you had in your head, you accomplished. It was just one, you know, I call it mountain that you climbed, and you got to the top of that mountain, you accomplished it. And you set another goal, and you accomplished it. You set another goal, and you accomplished it. And some point in time, which I think where you're at and where I'm at is, you know, there's something else out there. And I know for you, which is very similar to me, is the giving back part, because you're working very hard on the giving back side. Giving back to the members, the amount of time, energy, and effort that you dedicate to yourself with what you're doing is not for any money whatsoever. It's purely for the joy of giving back. And I think that's the kind of thing that keeps you going. And then you have your stack of cash that you wanted to generate. And I'm looking at it kind of the same way. I've gotten to the point where I don't need to work as hard. I want to spend more time with my family and our newborn. And so for me, and being that trying to go find a deal myself, trying to go run the property myself, trying to be the operator myself, I'm pretty much finished with that. And my next thing I want to do is just continue doing investing in real estate, but more on a very, very passive level. And so with the family office concept, it keeps me sharp in the sense that I don't get relaxed with the cash I have. It's like, okay, I'm staring at this asset. It's not working hard, very hard for me, 1% at best. And so I want to put it to work. And over the last 10 years, the one thing that I feel very, very comfortable with is multifamily properties. I feel like no matter an up or down economy, this is one of the things I don't have to time the real estate market like the stock market. I can invest any time because of the kind of assets that we buy I know is safe. So my principal is going to be safe. It's just a matter of how much money I make depending on where we are in the economy. So I'm just wanting to go all in, Dale. It's like everything I get, I put back in. I live very, very conservatively. I don't need a big house, fancy car. So everything I get is right back into multifamily properties.
Would you consider what you're doing even akin to something called dollar cost averaging?
You know, what's crazy about this that I'm personally experiencing that I just, trying to put my arms around is it's more of a snowball effect that's just mind-blowing to me. Because it gets so much easier and easier and easier as you build layers and layers and layers of properties. So I have 40 properties, 40 assets out there right now.
Curtis, let's cut it off right there because they're going to take us to break. I don't want you to get right in the middle of the answer and they turn the music on you. All right, we'll be right back with Curtis Haynes. Sorry about that, Curtis, and the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del will be right back with more life-changing principles in just a few minutes.
When you look at the effects of what happened in 2008 and you compare it to what we are hopefully coming out of right now, real estate has definitely shown its resiliency. It has provided for people not only a place to live, but a place to work, a place to raise their children, a place to teach their children, a place to prepare all of their meals.
And that's really where the rubber meets the road, is that there are two things that people have to have, and they strive very hard to have them, and that's a roof over their head and food on the table. And if you are investing in something related to either of those two things, you are going to have a winning strategy. And in addition to that, you're providing something of value to the people around you. And creating a win-win situation while creating wealth and passive income for yourself is the best life you can get.
Real estate is resilient. You should have real estate in your portfolio. Join us for the next live online free workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. With me here today is Curtis Haynes, and Curtis is one of our multifamily consultants. He's also one of our highest volume investors and probably one of the most profitable investors at Lifestyles. And Curtis was, when we went to break, sharing a concept about how it becomes easier the more layers of investments you have. And Curtis, you're calling that the snowball. I'm going to let you pick that back up, but I want to throw in my two cents on that. Is I'm assuming you have so much diversification with all these different properties that if any one of them is having a mediocre payout that month or that quarter or that year, the other ones pick up the pace and you just almost can't miss. Am I figuring that correctly or what?
Yeah, I mean, well, yes. Some may not be performing as well as others, but it's all relative. They're all still cash, you know, all of them are cash flowing, and all of them are doing very, very well. Some are doing exceptionally well. I mean, I was thinking about this on during a break, is we're actually playing with a stacked deck. Here we have an organization that has a roadmap for someone who joins the group to basically show them everything that they need to do in order to make a business successful. 25 years of the do's and don'ts, here's the roadmap, here's the training. If you do this, you will improve your chances of being successful. So we have this stacked deck in the sense that we have individuals coming in that are already intelligent or bright folks from their previous endeavors going into multifamily real estate, following the roadmap, implementing what you're teaching us. And so when I'm investing with someone like that, I know that at minimum I'm getting somebody who knows the process, knows the business, and has a good chance of being successful. So to me, it's very, very fascinating when you look, you know, when I take a step back and look at the bigger picture of what we have here within Lifestyles and the opportunity that the average Joe would never have, and that is to be able to put a dollar into an apartment complex. That concept in itself is mind-blowing. But to be able to get a whole bunch of individuals together to put their dollar into a multifamily deal and yet follow the best practices that Lifestyles teaches to give us a better chance of not only succeeding but doing well. And so I feel very comfortable with every investment I make with just a basic type of review for myself. You know, do I like the property location? And so if massive hurricane hits Houston, oh yeah, it has. Are all my properties impacted? Yes, some, right? But nothing devastating, nothing where I'm losing money, right? So it would take something worse than what's already happened in Houston, which has been pretty significant. And so far, I'm still very, very profitable.
I'm going to take you a different direction now, because all these things, you know, came up in my mind when I knew you were going to be on the show. And of course, because of where you're at and where I'm at, but let's go back a couple of years previous, and we both found ourselves with cancer. And at the time, I had no will. I had no estate plan. I had my assets just hanging out there. Nobody really knew where they're at completely. I mean, I had 13 different companies. You have 45 different companies of assets. And here of late, you and I have decided we're going to start fixing that. So I'm right in the middle of that. I've got it all set up now where I've got trusts set up, and then I'm going to have living trusts to pick up all the stuff that's left over. So I've got an asset protection trust, and I got a living trust that's going to pick up whatever's outside of the trust and throw that into another trust if I die. Wills, business plans, a plan for how lifestyles will perpetuate as long after I'm gone. All of this stuff I've just started setting up in the last year. And I know you're starting to set the same stuff up, and I know that your trigger is because of your daughter. Like, that, boom, that wakes you right up. But I was at the point when I had cancer, I had a daughter, and I didn't even think about that. I felt like if I died, she'd get enough leftover assets, no matter where they flung in from or if they could figure them out or not, that she'd still be better off than anybody else. But my question to you now is, looking back with hindsight, I know that when I first started Lifestyles, people were getting sold these seminars that you need corporations, you need family limited partnerships, you need trust. And they were selling them all this stuff to people who had no assets, which just really irritated me. And I tell people, don't fall for any of that stuff. And so I picked up an attitude that stuff is irrelevant. What's really relevant is getting out there and creating assets and making money. But now, hindsight being 2020, do you have any insight to where you would have done it differently, at what age or what position in all of your business? Because you've owned businesses for the last 30, 40 years, whatever it's been. Do you see any difference now? You might have done it differently.
Yeah, I think there's a basic layer of protection that we all need to do regardless of where we are in terms of how much assets we have. And so that for sure would have been should have been done right away. So I think for everybody, having some sort of will and basic estate planning is important. And I think once you start building up your assets and you start hitting the exemption amount, which I thought it was like $5 million, I think it's been doubled to 10. I think you mentioned that that's now 20. I can't. I don't know what the ultimate answer is.
We were both wrong on that. We thought it was 5. We thought it got doubled to 10, but it was 5 if you were single and 10 if you're married. You're already married. That really means it's $20 million you can hand off now.
Yeah, and I think once an individual starts hitting that threshold, then they really need to start getting into the more complex conversations that you and I are going through right now. And I think the problem with these seminars is that they're having these conversations too soon. If you're not at the exemption amount, the complexity and the cost associated with setting up all the different entities just doesn't make any sense. And the other thing that they try to sell you on are these annuities that are really just so heavily fee-based that at the end of the day, they're just not the right. They're sold as an estate planning tool, and I don't want to give any advice, but just from talking to a lot of other professionals, a lot of these tools are really the people who are making the money are the ones selling it to you. So, hindsight-wise, I should have done some basic planning in the beginning, and then I should have started this conversation that you and I have had over the last 6 months a lot sooner.
Yeah, I'm thinking that myself also, but, I guess we weathered it. So it's one of those things where, although hindsight's 2020, experience is reality, and so we've made it. As we go forward here, one of the interesting things I found out about offloading. And the idea of a trust, by the way, and by the way, this, Curtis, this is a way high conversation. I don't normally have these on the air. I like to keep it simple. But there are some people out there, Curtis, that are already successful in life. They're running around wanting to know, how do I protect myself with all these assets? And if you're going to go out there and make me even more millions of dollars, how do we protect all that? And so I'm having this one high conversation with you because you're already there. We can relate to this. And I know there's people listening right now, Curtis, that relate. And there's probably some people coming up on this position that are at the point where they should start thinking about relating to it. So one of the things that I found out is if I put all my assets in the trust, the assets don't belong to me anymore. Now, I can set up a trust where I'm a beneficiary, so anything that comes out of the trust comes back to me or to my daughter or to my fiance. You know, we control what comes out and where it goes. But one of the interesting things that I found out is that the assets inside of the trust are still considered your assets in the fact of and by the IRS. Because I asked them, who pays the taxes on all these profits? And the interesting question was, you do. Until you're dead. And once you're dead, then the trust actually has its own tax return and pays for the taxes on the income that's produced inside of the trust. Now, that was an interesting concept to me because it really lets you understand that even though you've taken the assets out of your day-to-day control, and this is another step further away from working in your business, Curtis, if you can understand that. You now have it all set up where the trust runs the businesses. Now, you run the trust. Actually, you have a trustee that runs it, but you tell the trustee what you want to have occur. And so it's a different level. It's one more level of stepping away from working in your business every day. So literally, once the trust is set up on what you want it to do with your assets, you could literally travel the world, and then you call your trustee and say, hey, could you send me, you know, $10,000, $20,000, $50,000 over here? I need the money over there. Would you buy this for me inside of the trust? And they'll set it up and buy. In other words, they now become your surrogate. And I thought that was kind of interesting. What do you think about that concept?
Yeah, that is interesting, Dell. And I haven't quite got to that level of a conversation with the state attorneys, but that's the high-level conversation they're having. It's very, very interesting. I'm definitely looking forward to seeing more of the details and exactly how that all works.
All right, we'll take a break and we'll come back with more with Curtis Haynes and the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
You're listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del will be right back with more life-changing principles in just a few minutes.
Del Walmsley on the economy and politics.
What happens if the economy turns around and goes back down now the Democrats are in power, or inflation becomes rampant and all of a sudden it becomes very difficult to do business? I was listening to an economist the other day and he pulled out this chart of GDP. He said, look, here's what I want you to do. He said, tell me anywhere from 1950 to 2021 where the Democrats took power and where the Republicans took power. He said, point it out for me. And the truth of the matter is you can't tell.
If you're sitting on the sidelines waiting to see what the politicians are going to do, or waiting to see what the economy's going to do, if you're trying to predict the future, stop. Politicians and the economy have no bearing on your success or failure. Only you do. Register for the next live online free workshop. We'll unfold the map to retirement in 5 years or less, regardless of what's going on in the world. It's the same proven strategies we've been using for 30 years through every political party and economic cycle you can think of. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. With me here today is Curtis Haynes, one of our top mentors and top investors at Lifestyles Unlimited. And Curtis, here for the last segment, I wanted to cover this this concept that you had about being safe in your investments throughout the movements of the market. And you had brought up this point about oil dropping from 100 to 30, and it didn't seem to affect you. Pick that up and cover that in totality, would you? Why are we so insulated from the rest of the world's problems?
Yeah, as far as apartments in general, I mean, everybody needs a place to live, right? So as you have these ups and downs in the market in general, For the most part, where everyone's resilient, Houston's resilient. We're not back in the 80s when the oil prices dropped and there were no jobs. So when oil prices dropped back in late 2014, yes, it did have an impact on Houston, but we had a pretty very diverse economy. So we still had folks working, and we still had folks needing a place to live. And as apartment owners, you get insulated from those kinds of ups and downs, which I absolutely love. And we talk about buying right, how you teach us to buy right on apartments, that we'll make money in an up or down economy. It's just a matter of how much. And there's a lot of folks that I know outside of lifestyles that were waiting on the sidelines for all of 2015, 2016, and even in 2017, waiting for this quote-unquote correction, because the oil prices got cut so low, and jobs did get cut in half in Houston, and there was this feeling that the Houston market was not going to survive with oil prices where they were. And it turns out that the folks that were on the sidelines were wrong, and that the Houston is resilient, and we did fine in 15, 16, and 17. We didn't hit like these exceptional numbers, but we hit some very, very strong returns, so much so that the sales prices never changed. And so I'm looking at 2018 and kind of getting from the economic news and luncheons that I'm going to, that things are going to be looking very, very interesting for Houston. So if there's anybody that has any doubts in terms of trying to time the market, which you don't have to in real estate, and that's my main point, Dale, is you do not have to time the market when it comes to real estate, unlike stocks. But if you are that kind of person wanting to time it, now's the time, because everyone's thinking that it's going to really look interesting in a good way.
So a week ago, this article got circulated around about A-class properties are not as appealing anymore. People are all going back to B and C class to look for better returns, more possibilities. Are you believing that? It's like I've heard that I've been in business now 27 years. I've heard that for 27 years. How is that a different story than it was 2-3 years ago?
Yeah, I don't believe in that. The bottom line is there's so much pent-up demand in terms of money looking for a good return. And we're talking about these institutional funds, these pension funds that are just looking for a decent return. And there's so much money out there looking to invest that there's just not enough in the A's for them to find, and they're just trickling down a little bit. But I don't see that as being too valid of a point. I think there's just, in general, way too much money on the sidelines, and that's part of the reason why I think it's going to be very, very interesting.
So I'm going to share a story with you about hindsight being 2020. I remember when I first got in the apartment business, the first one I bought was a 60s construction. And when I bought a 1974 construction, a 64 unit, I thought I had died and gone to heaven. To own something in the 70s, an apartment complex, flat roofs, mansards, the whole bit. But it was my little dream, right? So I bought two more. So I owned three apartments that were all 70s. Then I bought two more down the street, owned five that were all 70s. And then when I got to that point where I had like 500 units that were all 70s, I go, my dream is to own a really expensive Class B, something built in the 80s. And what happened was, in 2008, when the recession came, I went out and bought 1,000 units worth of Class B in my brain, because they were all 80s construction. But by the time I had bought them, they were Class C. And so you can imagine, you guys came in about when that stuff was becoming C's. But for my whole life, that was a dream to own 80s construction. And as you know, 80s construction completely different than 70s construction. I mean, you go to the pitch roofs, you go to the different wiring, you go to different pipes. It's just completely different. And now I'm sitting here looking at this, and I'm looking at Class A's, and I'm going to get me one of these things. I just keep going after them and after and after them. I'm going to one of these days fall into one. But the point is that I'm thinking to myself, okay, there's stuff now that is built in the 90s that's really still called Class A, but it's 20 years old now, almost. 38, you know, whatever, 90s, 2000, be 10, 2000, 18 years old. And there's stuff in the 2005s, the 2010s, the 2015s. And each and every one of those layers is a different layer of Class A, quote unquote. And then there's the 2017s and the stuff to be built now. And, you know, you really think back, and here's the point I'm getting to. When I was buying this stuff that was 70s, it made money. When I bought stuff that was 80s, it makes money. The stuff at 90s makes money. The stuff at 2000. Wouldn't it be nice to know that you've got properties that's just a little bit ahead of the curve? Because all of the superstars were only 10 years ahead of me, if that makes any sense. And so my goal is to be ahead of the curve and to be one of the guys at the front of the line that are feeding the stuff backwards to the guys starting out. And that's kind of like my next goal in life, is just to get to that next level. Because I know once I get one, you know how it works. Once I get one, I'll get as many as I want. Remember this, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Listening to the Del Wamsley Radio Show, teaching you the opposite of everything you've been taught, so you can obtain the results you've never obtained. Join us 7 days a week. Can't get enough? Visit DellOnTheRadio.com to listen to the Del Wamsley Radio Show, access past show podcasts, and join the conversation.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Wamsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Wamsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Wamsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Wamsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.